We're on the top of Daf Yud Amud Beis, and we were talking about a Mavui that has too wide of an entrance, and how can we diminish that entrance in such a way that we could be Matir, the Mavui, with a Lechi or with a Korah. So one method that we had was a pas gavoa asora meshech arba amos, a wall, a very low wall that takes you from the entrance right down the middle of this mavui. The mavui has an entranceway of 20 amma, but by putting this wall right down the middle, you now have two entranceways, two psachim into this mavui. And one is 10 amos, and the other is 10 amos. So if you've accomplished your goal. And now, we're going to suggest another possible solution. And the case that we're dealing with is a mavui that has an opening, an entrance that is 15 amos wide. So now we're up to Inami. And that will be on the second line on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Kid Rabbi Yehuda. So this is again another method of upgrading the Mavui or validating the Mavui such that it lends itself to a tikkun of a Lechi and a Korah if it's too wide. And again, you know, every case has to be dealt with differently because you can have a mavui that's 20 amos wide. In the case of Rabbi Yehuda that we're going to study now, on Rabbi Yehuda, mavui shu rachav chamesh esrei amah, it's 15 amah wide, and he wants to put up a lechi or a korah. So Rabbi Yehuda advocates the following recommendation. It's the last thing that we discussed yesterday. Marchik shtei amos. Let's say he has a kosel of the mavui on the right. He moves in two amos. V'oseh pas sholosh amos. And now he puts up a mini wall that is three amos in width. And now we can apply the principle of omed meruba ala paritz, as if to say he's blocked off five amos. What do you mean he blocked off five amos? He only blocked off two amos. I'm sorry, he only blocked off three amos. How can you say he blocked off five amos? But the answer is that the principle of omed merubal aparutz, allows us to judge the parutz as if it was omed, as if it was sasum. And therefore, we view even the two amos that are open as if they are closed. And therefore, in effect, we have five amos that are closed, and what you're left with is a pesach of a mavui that's only 10 amos wide, which lends itself to a heter, lechi, or korah. Now, I suspect that what Rabbi Yehuda is trying to tell us is that there's no need to close off the entire five amos to reduce the opening to 10 amos. What you could do is you can get yourself a pas that's only three amos wide, and that could suffice. And all you have to do is move it over, let's say towards the left, and leave two amos exposed, open. He writes here in the name of the Rashba, Hakora o Halechi Matirin es HaPesach HaGodol Mikosel HaMovuya Echad V'Ada Pas V'ilu es Pesach HaKotan Shemin HaPas V'Ulalon HaKosel HaSheni Shal Movuy Ein Tzorach Tikun. He says the following. Again, I don't know if there are any nafkaminas to this, but at least conceptually, the way the Rashba understands it is that the lechi or the korah is only necessary now for the 10 amos. As far as the additional 5 amos, which we said is on the right side, that doesn't need any sort of a lechi or a korah. And the reason for that is because it's omed meruba ala paritz. That itself is enough to be matir, that opening, that entrance, the five amos towards the right. You only need a lechi and korah for the 10 amos on the left side. Oh, you know what? I'm thinking out loud. Maybe the Rashba would be a nafkemina in terms of how to situate the lechi and the korah. Meaning, from the perspective of the Rashba, the lechi or the... Let's talk about lechi for a moment, but I think it's even more relevant to the korah. The lechi could be in one of two places. It could be either attached to the left wall or perhaps attached to the... right outside the space of the pas, which would be the equivalent of the right side of the mavui. In the case of a korah, for example, you remember that we spoke about a korah that has to go from one coastal to the other. And let's say if the korah was suspended by different pegs that are holding it up, that could be a problem if it doesn't go all the way to the other kosel. Here, according to the Rashba, all I would need is that the korah covers me up until that five amos. Omnam, he says, Eina pas atzmo yochel shamish kelechi. Now he wants to know, why does he even need a lechi? Excuse me. Why can't the pas itself function as a lechi? And he says the following: a lechi has to be placed within a distance that's less than three tfachim to the kosel. And here, if you want to use the pas as a lechi, that's a no-no, because the pas has a two amma distance from the kosel, and therefore cannot function as a lechi. Okay. Now he has an introduction here to the next line in the Gemara. He says, what happens if you have a mavui that has an entrance that is 20 amos wide? How are you going to be matir this mavui? How are you going to be mamayit the mavui? So he offers two possibilities, and he has two diagrams. One possibility, he says, is sheyarchik shtei amos mikosel asheni shel mavui v'yaniach sham pas nosaf berochav shalosh amos. In the first case of Rabbi Yehuda, he was matir a rochav of 15 amma. We can utilize the same logic of Rabbi Yehuda to be matir a mavui that has a that's its entrance way, its pesach is 20 amma wide, and all we have to do, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be to duplicate what we did on the right side on the left side and have both. What we're going to do is we're going to have on the right side two amos of airspace followed by a pass of three amos. On the left side, we're going to do exactly the same. We're going to give an airspace from the left side going towards the right of two amos and then a pass of three amos. And what you've effectually done is you've accomplished the following. You now have closed off both sides, five amos and five amos. What you're left with in between one pass and another pass is 10 amos, which is perfect. Then he has a second possibility. Oh, sheyarchik mikosel amovui ha'echod arba amos v'yaseh sham pas berochav sheish amos. He can choose one of the kosle amavui, the right one or the left one, it doesn't matter. And he could be marchik and allow for an airspace of 4 amos, and then set up a pas that's 6 amos. And again, I'm not exactly sure why it has to be 4 and 6, but whatever it is, it's got to be, it has to fulfill two conditions. Number one, it's got to close off 10 amos. And number two, the amud has to be merubal apart. So the pas has to be greater than the airspace. That's parutz. So that if you have 4 amos of parutz, followed by 6 amos of a pas, right, which is not the case that we had before. Before we had the case of a pas that was only 3 amos. And if the opening was 20 amos, he had a pas on both sides, each of which was 3 amos. But now we're getting a pas that's 6 amos, together with the airspace of 4 amos, is then parutz meruba, then it's omud meruba la parutz. It's as if it saw some 10 amos, and therefore you're left with 10 amos of an open, of open space. So now the question is, based on all these different permutations and applications of Rabbi Yehuda's principle here, of setting up a pas that is omed meruba laparutz, why does Rabbi Yehuda mention the case of 2 amos and 3 amos? Vamai. Why does he say that he needs one larger pas that has the width of 3 amos? Why can he do it a little differently? Nitan l'chalko l'shnei chalokim. What does that mean? Yase pas amo v'chetzi v'yarchik shte amos v'yase pas amo v'chetzi. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you have to give yourself a space of 2 amos followed by a pas of 3 amos? Why not allow yourself a pas of 1.5 amos and allow yourself 2 amos and then another pas of 1.5 amos? Now, if you consider it, since he's got a space of 3 amos, I'm sorry, since he has a space of 2 amos, and he's now got a pas on both sides of the open pirza, we'll call it, of 2 amos. Each pas is a 1.5 amma. If you add them together, you get 3 amma, and the opening area was 2 amma, and therefore it's omed meruba laparitz. And therefore, that would have been sufficient to diminish the opening of this mavud by 5 amma, so you're left with 10 amma. What the Gemara is analyzing now is the following. Does Rabbi Yehuda allow for an airspace between two different pasim, such that you can break up the pas into smaller slats? In Rabbi Yehuda's recommendation, the pas was one continuous pas of 3 amos. The Gemara is now recommending that he doesn't need a pas of 3 amos, continuous. He just needs the sum total of 3 amos, which could be comprised of 2 different pasim. So what he could do is take the 2 amos and put it in the middle between the 2 pasim. Or do we say no? Rabbi Yehuda, apparently, since he gave his recommendation of 2 amos of airspace followed by a pas of 3 amos, he's not willing to apply the principle of amud meruba laparutz for 2 different pieces. You can have 1 amud and it's meruba laparutz, that's fine. But to have 2 amudim with a pirtz in the middle and start adding up the 2 pasim, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow. Shma mina, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda did not offer this recommendation, we derive the conclusion, sha'omed meruba laparutz b'shtei ruchos lo havi omed. In other words, he cannot be mitzarif, he can't integrate one omed that's on one side of the airspace with another omed that's another on the other side of the airspace in order to be mivatel the airspace between them. But rather you need one continuous amud, which is omed, and it's got to be, you know, on one side of the airspace. But to have an omed, in this case a pas, which is surrounded on two sides by avir, that is not acceptable. That doesn't give you what we call a tziruf. Tziruf meaning an integration of two different pasim in order to create omed meruba al haparetz. Okay then. So now the Gemara is going to reject this proof. Li'olam, the Gemara says, Eimelecha, I can tell you the following. That even in the case of an omed on two sides, that's not continuous, Havi omed, we can apply the principle of omed meruba ala parutz, v'shayni hacha, but this case is different. The osi avira da haigisa, vavira da haigisa, umevatale. The air on one side of the pas, which is a pirtz of two amos, and the air on the other side of the pas, which is eser amos, is mevatel the omed. So again, if let's say, I'm just going to throw out a possibility, though I want to summarize the Gemara here. The Gemara is saying that although, if let's say you had an opening that was five amos from side to side, the sum total of five amos. Okay, let's say you had a mavui that was only five amos, its entrance was only five amos wide. In such a case, Rabbi Yehuda would accept the possibility that you would have on one side of the mavui a pas of 1.5 amma, on the other side of the mavui a pas of 1.5 amma, with an airspace in between of two amos. And that would be, we could activate and apply the principle of omed merub al haparetz. Our case, Rabbi Yehuda's case, where you have a mavui that's 10 amos, that is 15 amos wide, that's a different story. Why? Because what you have here is not just an amud here and an amud here with airspace in the middle, but what you have is continuous, I shouldn't say continuous, but you have airspace beseirigin, you know, one after the other. You have, a pas on your left side, which is not connected to a kosel hamavui, but rather is surrounded by avir. And in that case, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that we cannot apply the principle of paritz merubala amud. In other words, paritz merubala amud has to eventually close off an area. And even though this airspace, since the airspace is relatively minor, it's the minority, I can see this as closed, but I can't do so in a case where to the left of the pass, meaning the pass on this side, you've got an opening, in this case, of 10 amos. So in the language of the Gemara, let's just review. The osi avira da haigisa, the avira da haigisa, umevatale. So you have the avir on one side, which is the pirtza of shtei amos, and you have the avir on the other side of this pas, which is an opening of 10 amos, and that's mevatel the omed in the middle. Because each one of these two avirs, we'll call them avirim, has a shear unto itself of parutz meruba ala omed. Do you follow? If you take that omed, that pas on the left side, and you compare it to the airspace on both sides, what you're left with is a pas that's minority. And such a pas could not serve as a pas. But otherwise, if you have a pirtza, one particular pirtza, and you situated amudim or omdim on both sides of the pirtza, then you could apply the principle of omed merubala parutz and set up a sasum and close it all off. Now the Gemara raises another question. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that he should place two amos of airspace followed by a pas of three amos? Why can't he recommend a different solution? And that is v'yase pas amo, v'yarchik amo. Let him create immediately attached to the right wall of the mavui a pas of one amo. Then from that pas he allows for one amo of airspace. V'yase pas amo. Now he puts a second pas of an amo, and a third time. Yarchik amo v'yase pas amo. So basically, what he has is three pasim, each one is an amo, and he's got two amos of airspace. So let's call it pas A, pas B, and pas C, going from right to left. Between A and B, he has an opening of one amo. Between B and C, he has another opening of an amo. He's got three pasim, each one amo in width, A, B, and C. If we put them all together, then what we have is omed meruba ala parutz. And if it's omed meruba ala parutz, then we have five amos that have been closed off. Now, I'm not sure how that would solve my problem. Just 1 second. We just said that there's avir lahai gisa v'avir lahai gisa. Why isn't this a case of avir lahai gisa and avir lahai gisa? Just 1 second. Okay, I'm sorry. I have to solve one problem that's really bothering my mind. But let's see the Gemara's conclusion. So, shmami na, omed kiparitz asu. So this particular setup would mean that it's omed kiparutz. It's 50-50. There's no majority. Why is there no majority? Lechor, it's 3 verses 2. He says, Shamachitza sheshir ha-omed sheba hu kishir ha-parutz edik sheir lefichach afkan kol oma shel parutz Oseres es ha'ama shel ha'omed hasmucha eleh v'nimtza she'en kan mechitza klal. Right, so let's say you have pas A that's on the right side. Then you have an avir of an ama. If the pas A is an ama and the avir is an ama, that's called omed kiparutz. But once again, I'm a little bit confused how the Gemara avoids the problem that we mentioned before of avir lahaygis and avir lahaygis. So, let me just see if anybody is bothered by this question. First of all, he says that this din of omed kiparutz, where it's 50-50, is a machlokes in the Gemara Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. That's number one. Now he has a kasha of the Rashba. 1 second. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit off. I'm a little slow today. Forget about the Rashba for a moment. Look at the next kasha in the Gemara. That's our kasha. Liola meimilcha mutar. Really, omed kiparutz, even if it's 50-50, that's also like omed merubala parts, and it's mutter. But shiny hacha, here it's different. The osavir dahaigisa udahaigisa mavatale. Right, that there's an avir on both sides of the pas. He's got a pirtz of an amma on this side, and a pirtz of 10 amos on the other side, and that's going to be mevatel the pas, which is samach lepesach hamavui, which is a little bit closer to the middle of the mavui. The only thing I don't understand is why did the Gemara have to go through this? It seems so obvious. You just said it, and I don't know why you have to ask a kash and then repeat the same answer that you gave before. This I don't know. But anyway, we're on good solid ground here, because the Gemara is actually applying the same rules that we came up with. Now he has a kasha here from the Rash, but Ketzad Yitochin Lomer Sheba Ofen Zeshose Pas Amo V'Revach Amo Yeh Osu Midin Omei Keparutz V'Arei Mikodem Lachain Dochsa Gemara She'Omeid Meruba Mishtei Ruchos Havi Omeid V'Kolshkin Sheish Lahatir B'Ofen Zeh. Let's see the case of Omeid Meruba Mishtei Ruchos. So what was that case? Pas. No, sorry, let's go back to one previous case. Oh, he's got Amavachetzi. Together with two amos in between. Now why is that considered Omeid Kiparutz? Omeid Meruba Mishtei Ruchos Havi Omeid. Omeid Mishtei Ruchos Havi Omeid. Oh, I think something's coming through. But it's a little bit slow, but it's coming through. He's got two amos and three, and then three and two. And that's going to be five and five. Oh, I got it. Remember that the Gemara offered another alternative solution to Rabbi Yehuda's issue, meaning how do you diminish the entrance to a mavui? And we had the case of a mavui that was 20 amos wide, and we said that you could put up these two pasim of 3 amos each, and what you have is you have an airspace of 2 amos from the right wall, and then you put up a pas of 3 amos, and you do the same on the left. Now, if you add 3 and 2 on both sides, you end up with 10 amos, which is exactly Omeid Kiparutz. That's what I think he's asking. And that's called Omeid Meruba Mishtei Ruchos Havi Omeid. Oh, that, yeah. Ah, right. But the Gemara rejects that. And the Gemara said that Omei Meruval parts Mishtei Ruchos Lo Havi Omeid. Which means if he has a pas of an Amo V'chitzi, and then shtei amos, and then a pas of an amma v'chetzi, is we said that we're going to reject that because it's omei meruba l'parts mishtei ruchos, lo avi omeid. And basically the mathematics is that you end up with the same amount of omeid as parts. The tira shachen tzok lom shakavanas gemara atol ochiach shnei inyonim. Ha'echad omed kiparts asur, v'asheni omed meruval aparts mishnei tzadim lo havi omed. Okay, all right. That's the Rashba. Okay, now the Gemara is getting back to the Gemara. Why does Rabbi Yehuda mention a case where he's got shtei amos of avir and then a pas of shalosh? The yarchik amo, why can't he allow for an airspace of one amo from the kosal mavui? The yasa pas amo v'chetzi. The yarchik amo. The yasa pas amo v'chetzi, which is 3 and 2. So wait a second, why does that sound awfully familiar to us? Is this different than what we said before? Before we had amo v'chetzi and amo v'chetzi with two amos in between. And we said that that's called Omed Merubal Aparts Mishtei Ruchos. Okay. Now, why is this not a problem here? Why isn't that a problem here? Amo v'chetzi. Oh, I think I know what the Gemara means here. Let me just think. Right, what we said before was a case where you had two amos on one side of a pas that was amo v'chetzi, and you had 10 amos on the other side of the pass. So that's a case of osi avir dahai giso v'avir dahai giso mevatale. But here he's coming up with a different suggestion in which there's only an amo of airspace on each side of the pass. The pass itself is an amo v'chetzi. Again, when there's avir that's greater than the pas on both sides of the pas, then we apply the principle of avir mehaigis of avir mehaigis. Here the Gemara is suggesting that the avir would be only only an ama, and the pas will be an ama v'chetzi. So even though the sum total of avir on both sides is greater than the amo v'chetzi pas in the middle, but neither avir is capable of being mevatel as pas because the avir is less than the pas. Don, did you want to say something?
No, I thought, but I think we're in two different places. I'm pulling off.
Okay, so the Gemara says, Enochinami v'kuli hailo atrichu rabbanon. In other words, this would be a valid recommendation for the case of a mavui that's wide, that's 15 amos wide, but this would be more of a tircha. So they allowed him to have a pirtza of shtei amos. That was Rabbi Yehuda's recommendation, and a pas of 3 amos instead of just 1 second. Let me just make the calculation. So basically, he only needs 1 pas. If he would work overtime, he would have 2 pasim, each one of an amo v'chetzi, with 2 avirs. Each avir would be an amo, and that would give him 5. Amos sasum, because of Omed Merubal Aparutz, but they weren't matriachim to set up 2 pasim. They let him get away with with one pas. Yeah. Quoting the Ritva, Yesh mi rabosav hasovrim shaliachar shetirtza gemar v'kuli aylo atshachu rabbanon nidchu hateirutzim hakadmonim hakodmin v'ein omrim osi avira lahai gisa udahai gisa mevatale achein nita lahachsha mavui afbo fanim shehikshasa gemar li'el el shalo etrichu chachamim lasos kein. So the Ritva holds that once the Gemara came up with this new principle, that you're right, there are other methods and recommendations as to how you could be matir this mavui, but the Rabbanan didn't want to be matriach you, could be the Gemara now is willing to apply that logic and that principle to all the other questions that we had. And even though we gave various answers as to why those recommendations would not be valid, but at the end of the day, we can validate all those recommendations, just that the Rabbanan were not matriach you. In other words, you don't have to build so many different pasim. You can get away with one single pas.
Reject everything. So I'm not sure what it's accepting.
Well, let's take the last case that we're accepting, correct? In the last case, so we have an airspace of one amma, we have, and we follow with a pas of 1.5 amma, we have another airspace of an amma, and we have another pas of 1.5 amma, and that's going to be acceptable. Why? Because we have a calculation of 3 amos of pas and 2 amos of airspace.
Yeah, but then it says he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to go to that trouble. So what are they accepting then?
So I don't know what you mean by accepting. We have a little bit of a language problem. To me, the word accepting means, would it be valid? Until now, we had all sorts of recommendations and we shot them down. Now we have a valid recommendation, just that, you know, you don't have to go that far. But if you, for whatever reason, you know, you happen to have these possum in the back, in your garage, you know, and they each are an amma v'chetzi, then go ahead and use that method. You know, we're not going to force you to do so. We're going to let you get away with one single pas of 3 amma, even though the airspace here is going to be 2 amma, which is a pretty serious kind of airspace. And that's fine. You know, don't bother yourself. Don't go back to the hardware store, you know, to order 2 small pasim. We'll let you get away with 1 large pas. Maybe it's...
We're going back to the first example then.
Well, no, it's not exactly the first example. I'll tell you why. Because in the first example, what we had was an airspace of 2 amma between 2 different pasim, each was 1.5 amma. And that's where the Gemara applies the principle of osi avira mihaigiso avira mihaigiso, meaning you had an airspace of 2 amma to the right of this pas, which is 1.5 amma, and then you have 10 ammas to its left. So right. On both sides, you have a parutz that's greater than the amud. Okay. Now we've solved that problem. Why? Because what we have is an airspace of 1 amma and another airspace of 1 amma, and on the on the side of the airspace, you know, to its right, if you will, you have a pas that's 1.5 amma. So there's no avir that would be mavatel the pas. So that's why this recommendation is better. The Ritva wants to say that even the other recommendation, which had an avir of 2 amos, right, between the 2 pasim, which means that to the left of the avir, you have a pas of 1.5 amma, which means that there's avir on both sides of this pas to be mevatel. Even that would be accepted. But once again, that's a case where you had 2 pasim, and the Rabbanan said, we don't want to be matriach you. If you happen to have, again, as I said before, in your inventory, you happen to have 2 pasim of that size, then go ahead, call a kavod. Or if you get a cheaper deal on 2 pasim, small pasim, than 1 large pas, I don't know, then go ahead and go with that. But they weren't matriach. Now the Gemara asks another kasha. on Rabbi Yehuda. The lechush dilma shavik pischa rabba v'oil bepischa zuta. Oh, this is a fascinating question. The Gemara says the following, that what is Rabbi Yehuda accomplishing? He's got a mavli that's 15 tefachim wide in its entrance. So he's closing up 5 amma, correct? And now he's got an opening of 10 amma. And the premise is that that opening is a Pesach, because that's where you're going to enter into the mavli. It's very comfortable. You know, that's 10 amos wide. So the Gemara now is questioning that premise. Yeah, it may be more comfortable to enter into the Mavui through the 10 Tfachim, but now that you've allowed an avir of 2 amos, like 2 amos is pretty significant. I mean, if I had to draw 2 amos, it would be from here to here. Well, that's the size of your average opening. So maybe the people are now going to enter into the Mavui from now and on through the opening of 2 amos, which means that now we've shifted the Pesach from a Pesach Rabba, which is the 10 amos, to the Pischa Zuta, which is only 2 amos. And what that accomplishes, if people start going, let's say, for example, let's say you live in a house on the right side of the Mavui, and you've created an airspace, now according to Rabbi Yehuda's recommendation, of 2 amos, you know, at the end of that wall, if you follow what I mean. Let's say my house, if I'm standing with my back to the house, and I look to the left to go out of the Mavui, what I'm going to see at the end of my eyesight, at the end of my vision, is an opening of 2 amos. I might very well want to avail myself, if on that side, of that opening of 2 amos. And that's called Bitul HaPesach. Bitul HaPesach means that the other Pesach, which is now very, very wonderful, it's only 10 amos wide, that's valid, but it's no longer functional. You know, it becomes dormant, if you will. And what that's going to mean is that, let's say, for example, you need a lechi or a korah. You're going to put the lechi or the korah on the left side of the Mavui, right? Because you've got airspace of 10 amma that ends up with a pass, and that pass is going to separate the 5 amma on the right. Now your lechi is on the left as you enter into the Mavui. Well, guess what? That's not a lechi. Why? Because a lechi has to be attached to a Pesach. And we've now found, we've now created a replacement Pesach. Omer Avad Bar Masna, Eino the Meniach Pesach Gadol V'Nichnas B'Pesach Katan. So Rav Ada has to formulate a brand new halacha that this is not a bittul of the Pesach, because a person doesn't squeeze through a small Pesach, but rather he goes through the large Pesach. So the Gemara right away asks, Umayshna midrav ami udrav asi. Okay, so this was a sugya on daf hey of Mavui shenifratz mitzido. Right, you remember now, we're not talking about a pirtza in the entrance way into the Mavui, but rather a pirtza in one of the walls of the Mavui. And Ravi Ami and Rav Asi, back on daf hey, say that we have to be afraid that if the opening is wide enough, right, there was a wall that was breached and it fell down, then again, unless there are certain conditions and so forth and so on, what's left of the wall, blah, 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 that's a sugya back on daf hey that we probably should review at some point. But in any event, there is such a thing, according to Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, of opening a Pesach that now is mevatel the other Pesach. So Gemara says, Hasam, there in the sugya of a Mavui Anifratz Bitsido on daf hey, that's a case where we suspect the ka memait behilucha, right? If let's say he's in the house, right in front of him there's a gigantic opening, because that's a breach on the side wall of the Mavui. So he cuts out a lot of hiluch. But hacha, lo ka memait behilucha. Again, I'm not sure I understand this. I'll just translate it. The Gemara is saying you're not shortening his pathway. In other words, again, we're talking apparently, again, here, this is going to be my problem, but about the Bnei Rishus HaRab, right? So those who are entering to the Mavui, what they see in front of them is a small pirtz of 2 amos on the right and a large pirtz of 10 amos right down the middle. They're not going to walk to the right to go through a 2 amo wide opening. They're going to go through the main opening. They don't save themselves any footsteps by going to the side. But as I said before, what about the people who live in the, right outside the Mavui? In other words, the Mavui function or serves those homes that border on the Mavui. And in that case, I see. The Gemara is saying, now I think I got it. What the Gemara is saying is that the Bnei Rishus HaRab are going into the Mavui. The Bnei HaMavui are going out of the Mavui. But in both cases, you're talking about going in or out of the Mavui in its main entrance. So if you have this row of houses on the right side of the Mavui, they have entranceways respectively into the Mavui. Now they go out of the Mavui into the Rishus HaRab. So what they see in front of them from that side is going to be a Pesach that's 10 amos wide and a Pesach that's only 2 amos wide. They're not going to save a thing by moving over to that side. So again, I'll just read to you the final word here. He says, Eina nichnas derech ha-Pesach ha-Katan mekatzer es darko b'kach. He doesn't save any steps. Shrei shnei ha-Pesachim b'rosh ha-Mavuihem. Right, these are two. There, you're talking about the wall of the Mavui that's right in front of the houses that border on that side of the Mavui. If that wall is breached, then Rav Ami is going to say, Rav Asi, that now we don't have a Pesach to the Mavui. Tnan, Hossam. Now it's interesting, sometimes the Gemara uses the word Tnan and it's a reference to a Braisa. This is a reference to a Braisa. And in fact, the Tosis Rid changes the Girsa. Instead of Tnan, it should say Tanya. Or Ha'asla. Okay, a certain kind of utensil which is called an asla. The Gemara is going to later on exactly define what this utensil is used for, what its purpose is, but there's an R. Now, this kli is made of leather, v'chalal shalo, and there's a hole in the middle of this utensil that enters into an airspace, is the R and the airspace, mitztarfim b'tefach. The shear of an oel, so an oel is usually a strip of a leather that's used as a tent, and it brings tumah to anything that's inside the oel if there's a corpse inside the oel, and we could be mitzarif both the full part, the actual leather together with the holes that are in the leather. And the shear of an oel, the minimum size of an oel, is 1 tefach. So that tefach could be comprised of A plus B, of R plus nekev, or chalal, if you will. And what does this sugya have to do with our sugya? Which, again, we're going to cover this bilineta tomorrow. But this has to do with the integrating of parutz and an ome. So here's the mirror image, so to speak, the parallel. In the case of putting a pas on an open area, in order to close that area, we're going to take a look at the size of the pas, we're going to take a look at the open space. And the parallel is going to be R, in the case of this asla thing, asola or asla, I don't know how you pronounce it. You have the R, and you have the nekev. And the Nekev is like Parutz, and the Or is like Omed. And if we apply the principles of Omed Merubala Parutz to the case of this Oel, then we're going to have to see we need certain ratios between the Or and the Nekev, otherwise known as the Chalal. So what are those ratios? Do we have a Rove? Do we not have a Rove? And why is this Kli, therefore, considered as if it's a full-fledged utensil, and it's makabel tumas mes. Okay, then, so let's just make a note of where we got up to. We'll start Bli Neder tomorrow with Tnan Hasam. Okay, then. And that'll be in the middle of Daf Yudam and Beis, and Bli Neder will pick that up tomorrow.